Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Nation, let's get it. Yo, salute to everybody already here in the building, man. You guys know what time it is, man. Welcome to the latest installment of Coffee and Convo. I am your host, Graphic Raider. This is a special one. I got some of my guys coming on, man, to talk some of this Raiders football with us. We're only a week away from the draft, less than a week, actually. And I wanted to get some opinions of my fellow, you know, content creators. But this is a little closer to home for me. These guys I consider family. And we're just not going to wait any longer, man. We got my guys in the building, man. We got Murph. We got Jeff. What is going on, Raiders Fan Radio, man?
Man, great to be here, Graf. Thanks for having us, my man. I can't wait to get into it, man. This is awesome.
Got my coffee loaded, man. Ready to talk some draft, talk some Raiders football.
Let's go, man. Salute to my guys. If you guys are not subscribed to my brothers yet, what are y'all waiting on, man? Raiders Fan Radio, go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, run those numbers up. I'm going to be honest, you guys. There's no reason at all. They shouldn't have at least 20,000-30,000 subscribers. The shows that they put on are awesome. Like, there's no reason why. It's just they deserve a lot more in terms of numbers subscription-wise. So go over there and hit that subscribe button, man, and definitely rock with our brothers, man. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. I'm fired up. I can't wait to get to the draft, man. Doesn't it feel like there's two long periods in a football season or throughout the course of the calendar year? And of course it's in after the draft and after OTAs. And after that, we just got this big void in, you know, June, July before we really start rolling into August. And then now, I mean, it feels like it's a desert out there. And, you know, too, as a content creator, you know, of course there's always a Raider story and we can always reflect on our past, which is what we do a lot on our show. We'll look back to the past and the great history of the silver and black. But yeah, outside of that, man, it's tough. I couldn't look at another mock draft. I don't want to, you know, hear another freaking a breakdown of tackles in the sixth round.
Man.
All right, let's just get to it, man. Let's find out who our quarterback is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. Like, you know, because I'm ready for the draft. Obviously, I'm ready for the draft to happen, but I'm ready for the draft to be over as well, so we know who we're gonna, going to be starting, who's going to be playing, all that kind of stuff. Because the people, you know, Twitter can be a crazy place, you know.
Yes.
You know, and the Twitters are absolutely insane with people talking about trading up, trading down, all this and that, and fighting over it. You know, and we have no say over any of that kind of stuff. So, I'm ready to find out who's going to be the next Raiders, and I can't wait to get into it.
You know, like on our show, too, we say all the time, like, we love to talk about the Raiders that are, not the Raiders that aren't. You know, we can talk about, obviously, once a Raider, always a Raider, except in Warren Sapp's case, maybe. But for the most part, it's once a Raider, always a Raider. But so we talk about the Raiders that are. Well, we don't know who any of the Raiders are going to be. We don't know who these guys are. Yeah. So it gets tough for us because we're not draft experts like you and your guys at Shieldmore. You know, we'll dig into it a little bit. But getting into those like deep rounds and some of those group of five guys and all that, other than a guy like Quinyon Mitchell who just leaps off the freaking board for everybody, aside, outside of a guy like that, like we don't really get as dug in on that stuff. And yeah. So that's why we get excited when it's time to get the draft going, and then we can find out who they are, and then we dive in fully into these guys and their careers and what they look like in college and the pros and cons and all that good stuff.
That's what makes your guys' show special, though. Like, you guys know your strong suits. You guys, you know, you talk about the past, you talk about the now. Like, that's why I love going over there and always, you know, typing in the chat and trying to give it support as much as I can, because you guys do something that not a lot of people do. You'll break down what's going on right now. You always break down some hot takes, and I love when Murph gets into his bag. Jeff, you as well. I love it. But you guys do something different. Like, a lot of people go to specific people for the draft. We'll go to Sanjeev when we want to hear about offensive line. You know what I mean? We'll go to Mitch. We want to party and have a good time. Like, everybody kind of has their niche, right? And I love that you guys stick to what you do. But you guys know some things. You guys, stop downplaying you guys' knowledge when it comes to college football. You guys are sports fans. We're not going to talk too much about it because we beat this shit to an oblivion. I mean, me and Juan, salute to my guy from the Autumn Windbags. We did a mock draft last night, and I told myself in my head, I said, this is the last one. This is the last one. Like I'm done. We're a few days away. But I have a feeling, you guys, that this offseason is going to be a little different. And what I mean by that is May, June, July, I don't think it's going to be as slow as we usually – it's not going to be slow because people are going to be really excited about this draft. I got a feeling that we're going to – some interesting moves that are going to have the nation in an uproar, and it's going to help us through that slow time where there's going to be a lot to talk about. Like, with all this Jaden Daniels talk right now, with all these, you know, big commentary guys, you know, these guys that the ESPN and Adam Schefter, all these, now it's like Jaden Daniels is a realistic option for us right now. With the Commanders talking, with him and his agent not being happy about how the visit went, with all those quarterbacks coming in as a unit and not having it in one by one, you know, and rightfully so. I think that all these guys should have their own day to go in and, you know, kind of gauge things. What do you guys think in terms of this whole Jaden Daniels thing? Is it smoke? Because there's a lot of talk of Michael Penix Jr. being the guy at 13. Then there's a lot of talk about we're going tackle or corner at 13. So,
right.
Most green season at this point of the year, right? You can't really trust anything. But now that Jaden Daniels talk is starting to heat back up, days away from the draft. And
yes, sir.
I'm gonna be real, you guys. The smoke screen is a lot more effective early on in the off season. Being this close to the draft, where there's smoke, there's fire. How do you guys
feel? Absolutely, man. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. You know, I mean, obviously, I think the consensus among Raider Nation is that, you know, Penix will probably more than likely end up being the guy. Yeah. You know, is the price going to be too high to trade up into the top two, maybe top three to go get him? And we can swear on your show, right, Graf?
Fuck.
Man, fuck those picks.
Talk
them picks. Let's go up. Let's get our freaking guy, man. You know, I mean, it's AP's dude. If there's an opportunity, I don't know if there's a price that's too high. You know, I mean, unless they start asking for four first rounders and three second rounders or anything like that. But I think, you know, really realistically, you give away three number ones, maybe a number three and a number four, and either this year or next year, something like that. Deal. Sign me up for that shit, man. You know, I mean, you want to bring AP's guys into the building, and no more. There's no more of an AP guy than freaking Jaden Daniels, who's rocked side by side with him, fits what he wants to do. You know, you hear Antonio Pierce talk about, you know, the most difficult position or the most difficult quarterback to defend is a running quarterback.
Yep.
And that also, if you read between the lines there, he goes, I want a running quarterback because it's difficult to defend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not as completely sold on the idea, because I do think there is a price that can be too high. Now, granted, in terms of fit, I agree 100%, and I think that he's the guy. And I think, like Jeff said, the tea leaves are all there, and I think that's the ultimate desire. But we have so many needs that we need to address, and this draft is deep in the areas that we need. So what's really unique to me is that all the different takes, whether it's the move up to go get Jaden Daniels, where it's to stay put and get Penix, whether that's take Fuaga, whether that's take Quinyon Mitchell or Terry and Arnold, or all the different like formulas and theories that Raider Nation is coming up with, they're all very valid. And I think that's one thing that's really different compared to some of the drafts that we've seen in the past, is that it's kind of like there's not a wrong answer. Like all of those things are good. And then we can address in later rounds the other positions of need. So I think there's a little more fluidity there. Now, all that said, I fully acquiesce the idea of I forget what the guy's name is, but he's the general manager of the Bills. And he said when they made a big push for Josh Allen and gave up all that draft equity, and he said, you know what, if this doesn't work out, neither one of us are going to be here. Yeah. So I think that in Tom Telesco's world, there's probably a little bit of truth to that for him as well, because if this doesn't work out with the Raiders, that dude's not going to see another GM job anytime soon. And if it doesn't work out for Antonio Pierce relatively soon, all the criticism of him being an inexperienced head coach is just going to go through the roof, and he might be on a short leash. So I think these guys, if they're going to tie their legacy and their careers to a player, then I can see, like, no, let's go get the guy that we want to tie. Like, do you want to tie your career to Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell? I'm not an indictment of either of those players, but if my career is on the line, are those the guys that I want to tie it to? I don't know. I think there's a lot of options there for the Raiders. Again, I love Jaden Daniels, but I do think that there are other not right scenarios, because there's not a wrong answer here, but one of the ones that are applicable and make sense for the team.
And I think that, you know, but you nailed it right there when you said that the positions of need that we have are deep. You know, we need offensive line, we need secondary, we need corners. And both of those positions, you can snag guys that can start in the fourth round. Yeah. You know, I really believe that. So, I mean, if there was, I guess I'll say this, if there was ever a year to say F them guy, it's the 2024 draft, the end.
And this year, to be honest, the crazy thing is, let's say we do move up. I'm almost positive we're going to give up our first this year. I'm not even talking about the next, you know, the future. We're going to give up a bunch of firsts. We're probably going to have to part ways with our second this year as well, right? But you can still get Jaden Daniels, and you could find a Blake Fisher in the third round out of Notre Dame that could be your right tackle. And then this is a deep corner class. I've talked about the same names. I know people are tired of hearing about it. We're only a week away, but Cam Hart, Kyree Jackson, guys that'll be available in those middle rounds where you can still get another corner.
Jackson, man, I love that dude.
There you have it. And then you can still go get a veteran. Like I've been saying, the Xavier Howards of the world, the Gilmores of the world, the Dory Jacksons. And then that kind of weakness, you know, and I want to say, I don't even want to say our corner room is a weakness. I'm going to say the depth. Really no depth there, because I really believe in Jack Jones. I think he could be the guy. Corner one this upcoming season. In a full year under Patrick Graham, you know, not coming in, you know, as late as he did last year, I think he could be the guy. So, but the thing is, I've said this since day one, I'm not the biggest Jaden Daniels guy, but if we're going to die on the Antonio Pierce hill, I want him to have exactly what he wants. So if it doesn't work, at least we know we gave him everything under the sun to make it work. You know, I love Michael Penix Jr. You know, I've been a Drake May guy since day one, but if we're going to go get Jaden Daniels, this is the place where he's going to succeed. This is the place where all that, you know, that skill set that still needs to be unlocked, that taking unnecessary contact, you know what I mean? Like, they'll figure it out in Las Vegas, because I know you guys watch Jaden Daniels. This guy just runs into contact. And at the next level, these guys are huge. You're not going to make it too long in the NFL running into guys like the way you did at LSU. You know what I mean? So, but I think if you want Antonio Pierce to succeed, I know he says everything right about Aiden O'Connell. I love it, as you should, man. But you're not, just like you guys said, you're not going to tie your legacy to one of those guys. Go get one of these, you know, polarizing figures like a Jaden Daniels, a guy that you helped bring into Arizona State, that you scouted out of high school, and let's run it. Let's run it. Forget them picks. Fuck them picks, like Jeff said. Real talk. I don't care, because at the end of the day, we already have a team right now. We have a few glaring needs. Right tackle, we don't know what we're doing at guard yet. We did bring in Cody Whitehair, which I think they're going to move him to the left side, and then they'll move Parr him to the right. And we need a right tackle. We need a right tackle. But other than that, I kind of like our corner room. And I want to see what Ja'Corian Bennett can do in year two. You know, I've talked about he took his bumps and bruises early on last year, early in the season, a couple bad calls on the refs kind of got in his mind. And it happens with rookies. Once the game is like all over, like he's just like, oh my God, I think he kind of checked out early. And I think that Patrick Graham seen that, and you didn't really see too much of Ja'Corian Bennett moving forward. But Brandon Faison, I'm hearing that they like him a lot, you guys. You know what I'm saying? I know he was on the IR last year, had a pretty good year the year previously with the Indianapolis Colts. thinking about him a lot too as well moving forward. Like I think I like this corner room. And the way this defensive tackle room is now improved, I think these corners are going to have a lot less pressure on them because that defensive line is going to be a top three, top five defensive line in the NFL. You know what I mean? So salute to Eddie real quick.
I think we're going to see I hope we see a big jump out of Jacorian Bennett too. And I think that's something that a lot of times when we're talking about who the Raiders are going to draft, we kind of lose sight of that this guy was, you know, he's a first year player last year. Yeah. He plays a little more with his hands and needs to cover more with his feet.
Yes.
We would all like to see that. But I think that once, you know, you can teach that, you can coach that out of a young player. And so I'd be real curious to see him, to see where he jumps to in his second year. Cause that's a lot of times with corners and even wide receivers, you know, right? Like, so it's year two. Like that's when they really start to make their impact. Mm-hmm. And then the other player that you brought Brandon Face on too. I love that because he's a big dude.
Yeah.
We need a 6'2" corner. We need somebody big enough to cover goddamn Travis Kelce once in a while. Like, you know, somebody, you know what I mean? So I like the idea of that corner room, and I'm with you too. As far as the defensive tackles and what that impact is going to have on those corners, man, it's immeasurable. Like we have our buddy QB Jeff who played at Laney College in Oakland. He played with the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders quarterback out here in Tennessee where we live. And, but he's from Alameda. He's the all-time passing leader for Alameda High School. Uh-huh. And he talked about it on our last show. There's nothing worse for a quarterback than pressure in your face because it moves you off schedule or it moves you out of the pocket. You get off schedule, you get off balance, you get rushed. There's so many things. Plus, you got the idea, you got 300 and, you know, 4 or 5 pound dudes falling around your feet, you know, which is a nightmare for a quarterback injury wise. So it's just such an uncomfortable thing. And so the idea of having Christian Wilkins paired up on that line with the rest of the guys, it's going to create an immense amount of opportunities for our defense in the secondary because, you know, you can't cover forever. We've seen that against the Chiefs how many times?
Yeah.
You can't cover forever. But if you get that pressure comes early and that pressure comes up the middle, let alone here comes Max, here comes Malcolm. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to get after some people on defense. And I agree with you. So all that to say this. The corners are going to be helped out tremendously.
But you know what's funny? Everybody keeps we always keep saying, right, that Malcolm's going to be that much better because of Christian Wilkins. Max is going to be that much better, right? But people aren't realizing Adam Butler had a career year last year, about 5 sacks, right? John Jenkins had a career year. Imagine what they're going to look like now with the Christian Wilkins next to them. Imagine what Tyree's going to look like in year two with the Christian Wilkins next to him. Like, everyone's going to get better. Everyone's going to get better. We didn't expect that kind of year out of John Jenkins. He's up there in age. The OG, we were like, this guy is on his last. He was contemplating retirement, you guys, before he got signed with the Raiders. And he has a phenomenal year for us. And Adam Butler, another guy that just absolutely just jumped off the screen for us last season. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about everyone on the D-line getting better. Salute to Eddie, man. Appreciate you on gifting 1OLV Raiders Network. Salute to my guys, man. Wipe them feet, y'all. If you guys want to become a member, hit the link. It's pinned up top. Salute to Mr. Wrong. Is it just me or is AOC letting his hair grow out? He has the potential for a spectacular Ron Jeremy offspring look. Salute to Mr. Wrong.
Wow.
My guy in the building. I like that. Salute to my guy.
Well, you know, the last time we had a long-haired white number four quarterback, he balled out and took us to the playoffs. So I'm just saying.
When
Derek grew his hair out, he made the playoffs.
He looked like the guy from Home Alone.
Yeah.
Salute to True Raider. I've been saying it. We can fill other needs later. Get JD5. Now is the time. At this point, man, look, either we do that or we just go all, like, build that right side of the line you have to, but go defense. Because that's our strong suit at this point. Just continue to build on it. If we decide on not trading down, you guys, to go get one of these top quarterbacks, I'm all for just saying, you know what? Let's just build this defense even more than what it is. Let's go get the best player available at any position on the defensive side of the ball. Go get a Byron Murphy. I don't even care. Put him next to Christian Wilkins. That defensive line would be absolutely insane. You know, a Jahzir Newton. Add him to that defensive line. It's not even fair. And then, you know, a Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, which is my favorite corner in this year's draft. I think that you add him, it's nasty. So, and then, you know, the Peyton Wilsons of the world, that linebacking group, there's going to be a run on them in that second to third round. Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, Peyton Wilson, Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. We can make this defense a lot more. We can go from a top 10 potentially. I think we're a top 10 defense right now. I think we can be a top 5, top 3 defense this upcoming season if you just continue to build on your strengths. But I hear you, True. I'm all for trading up, going to get their guy. Because if it doesn't work, Hey man, we tried. I mean, shit, we tried. You know what I mean? Like you have to keep going with these quarterbacks. You have to keep trying until it works. And you know, we haven't tried. We went and got the Connor Cooks of the world, Murph and Jeff. We were getting, you know, DC was the first one that actually stuck and worked for us for a few seasons. We were year in and year out, the supplemental draft. You go get a Pryor. We're trying all these. We're trying to go bring in these veterans, the Matt Schaubs, the Matt Flynn's, trading for Carson Palmer's. It just, none of it worked. Keep trying in the draft. It's a quarterback league, and not even just a quarterback league. It's a young quarterback league. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, you know, I mean, we heard for how many years of Derek Carr's career, well, Derek would be great if he only had this or he only had this. Let's not do this with Antonio Pierce. Let's not let him get his guy and go, well, you know what? Antonio Pierce would be a hell of a head coach if he had a great quarterback or if he had better wide receiver, you know, whatever that case is. Just let's do it now and get AP. Who do you want? You want that guy? Okay, let's go get him. Yeah. And then we can have that conversation of, is AP the truth?
Yeah, because the pieces are there.
I love the point that you made too, Graf, about having a young quarterback. Because I think that, and I've been kind of pounding the table on this idea for a while, and I don't know, a lot of other people have as well. When you look at the history of quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, and especially ones that have won the Super Bowl since we got our ass kicked by Tampa Bay, since that Super Bowl, it's either guys that are on team-friendly deals like Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or it's rookie quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Pat Mahomes. Like, you start looking at all the guys it was Carson Wentz that was having an MVP season before Nick Foles even took over, but the guy that took over was an inexpensive quarterback. But point being, though, it's exactly what the Texans are doing now. They hit our home run on their quarterback. Now they're going to build, and they're going to absolutely load for bear at every single position, because now they've got this four-year window with a fifth-year option on a quarterback that's a baller and is cheap. That is the formula. I mean, even teams that don't win the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, like, that's the formula. And so I think that at least it's not always the formula, but more often than not,
it
falls into that category. Yes, now you've got Patrick Mahomes, and I understand that breaks that mold. But he once upon a time was one of those guys. So, and he's, by the way, the greatest passer we've seen. Anyways, point being, though, that I think there's a huge opportunity for our Raiders to take advantage of that scenario, because there are so many good quarterbacks now. Even as much as we would all love to see Jaden Daniels, even if it's not him, even if it's Michael Penix at 13, I'm a fan. I like Michael Penix. We our buddies were down at the Senior Bowl. Speaking of quarterback Jeff that joins us, he was down at the Senior Bowl, and his words to us were, the ball leaves Michael Penix's hand different than everybody else. And he's down there throwing with Bo Nix Michael Pratt and all these young quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. The ball leaves his hand different. He said the ball arrives at its target at the same velocity in which it leaves his hand. And, you know, we talk a lot about arm strength in quarterbacks, and no bigger arm other than maybe Joe Milton is Michael Penix. But more importantly than being able to throw the ball 80 yards downfield, it's to throw an 18-yard comeback. Yeah. Like, you got to be – that's where quarterbacks make their money. It's
bread
not tossing a bomb 70 yards down. It's a 15-yard out. It's a comeback. That's what – because the ball's got to get there, or the corner's got a chance to jump on it, or the ball's going to lose velocity, and then it's going to come up short. So point being, that's what Michael Penix can do, and he's so disciplined in the pocket. We don't have to worry about him out running around taking those big shots, because you can even be Anthony Richardson and be a big frame and still get knocked out by taking too many hits in the NFL. So, like, I think that there's an opportunity for us, whether it's – even if it's not Jaden Daniels. I don't get married to players, because we say we don't want to get married to them, because next thing you know, they're playing for your rival. You know, next thing you know, Penix is playing for the Seahawks or something, and I don't really care for him anymore. Yep. But until then, man, he's a great option for us. I wouldn't be mad at that a bit if it's Michael Penix.
I wouldn't be mad at it either. You know, I mean, you know, I'm obviously, being a fan of the Raiders, I feel like Penix is a very Raider quarterback, because our godfather, Al Davis, he wanted to drop a bomb. He wanted to drop a bomb at any time, be willing to do it. And Michael Penix is that guy. Yes, he makes his money doing those 18-yard out routes and stuff like that, but he has the home run ability. He can launch it at any time he wants, and that's some Raider shit, man. That's what Al Davis said he wanted. you know? And so
I want first downs. I want touchdowns.
I want touchdowns. I want to, you know, have a bomb and be willing to drop it at any point, you know? So,
well, then we got to, but then, okay. But then Graf, if we do get Michael Penix and say we are going to be a vertical offense, and we don't know what we're going to see with Luke.
We don't know what Getsy's offense is yet.
More vertical style to our offense. Who, other than Trey Tucker, who are we going to throw to 70 yards downfield? Like Devontae's, I know he's got a little bit of speed left, but he's not a burner. Neither is Jacoby Myers. So Trey Tucker's it. I mean, don't you think we'd have to add somebody else to be able to take?
Oh no, we will. No? We will. In this year's draft, I think we're going to add some speed to that room. Don't forget about DJ. You know, DJ Turner, also a guy that we've been using in special teams, but he's you know a little twitchy kind of guy. But we'll look at some speed. I'm assuming in those middle rounds. But the one thing that I like about Michael Penix or any quarterback that comes to the Raiders at this point, right, if it's Penix or if it's Jaden Daniels, they're going from this guy had, you know, neighbors. This guy had Brian Thomas in LSU. He had a shit ton of talent. Michael Penix, the Polks, the Romes, a shit ton of talent. You're coming to a situation where you already have Davante Adams lined up on the outside. He can also move into the slot and do a lot of damage like he did in Green Bay. You have Jacoby, who is probably one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. Trey Tucker, we haven't seen anything out of Trey yet. Like his ceiling is all the way up here. Like the rapport that he started to build with Aiden, I was loving it. And then, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, Hunter's still out there. I don't think Hunter's going to come back on a cheap deal. I think there's a lot of talk about maybe he comes home and his best friend is Christian Wilkins. Maybe he comes for a cheaper deal. There's not been a lot of talk about Hunter Renfrow at this point. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Would you guys?
Well, let's not forget about Michael Mayer, Graf.
Michael Mayer,
who's one of the best tight ends of last year's draft, and he came along strong before he got hurt at the end of the season last year. He's thriving under AP as well. So, I mean, whatever quarterback that comes in, whoever it is going to have all the toys to play with. God.
And then the run game is going to be insane because if Zeus can continue that trajectory from last season, and we're going to get one of these running backs in this deep, deep class – we're going to have a three-headed monster with Madison, Zeus, and whoever it is we bring in. So I think whatever quarterback
why are we drafting a running back, Graf? Because we already got the best one in the Sincere McCormick, right? That's the guy,
man,
right?
See, hey, man, hey, Jeff, we always hear, man. I tell everybody that you and Marquette King are my spirit animals, bro. I tell people all the time, man. So
respect.
You know, everybody knows that Sincere McCormick is the GOAT. It's just they haven't put him on the field yet. You know what I mean? But I still want to see what Britt Brown can do, our seventh rounder out of UCLA. We don't know. Yeah. You know, he was on the IR all year last year. But I do believe you have to take one in this year's draft because it's a deep, deep running back class. Salute the hug. I appreciate you, brother, the mod father of OLV. Salute to all the new members because of my brother, Hug D's. Appreciate you. Love you, brother. Salute to Ty. Salute, Graf. Loving the collaborations, man.
Hey, Ty Davis.
Salute to our guy, Ty Davis. Man. Yes, and he's always over there supporting what you guys do as well, man. Salute to our guy, Ty, man. Realistically, what do you guys think we do? Let's start with Murph here. Realistically, okay? We can talk about Jaden Daniels. We can talk about Michael Penix. Realistically, at 13, what are we doing?
Waga.
that's where I am.
I think that, you know, we as fans, we love the flashy, but I think that they'll take and solidify with the offense, not solidify entirely the offensive line, but just about with that. I think that the signing of Gardner Minshew told us a lot. I think that told us that they were fully prepared to either not get a quarterback in the first round or maybe not end up with a quarterback at all. And so, and now I know that's a far-fetched thing and it's hard for us as fans because we want the glossy, you know, big name and all the stuff that we just been talking about. And I just went on and on about rookie quarterbacks and all that, but he does fit the other mold, which is a quarterback on a team-friendly deal. So I think if at a minimum it was insurance. Do I think it was plan A? Not necessarily, but I think at a minimum it was insurance. So instead, I think you take Fuaga, and then if you can make a move to go up and get Michael Penix later in the first round or even earlier in the second round, well, you're going to need a good right tackle because he's a lefty. Shout out Kenny Snake Stabler.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that could be a way where we could come out of it and have it make sense. Like, I remember a few years ago, and we talked about it on your show, we all wanted Trayvon Merrick.
Yes.
We all wanted the Raiders to draft Trayvon Merrick in the first round, and then they didn't. And we were all like, oh, my gosh, because like, we drafted, Leatherwood, right, in that first round, which was a disaster. But then what happened? We ended up getting Trayvon Merrick still in the second round. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if you would have flip-flopped those picks, well, that would have made more sense. McMerrick in the first, Leatherwood maybe in the second, and then, okay, it makes a little more sense. So yeah, to me, like, it doesn't matter necessarily, like, the order is the what the final result is, just like with Khalil Mack and freaking Derek Carr. Like, that worked out pretty darn good.
And Gabe Jackson Gabe Jackson right after that.
Gabe Jackson, that was the last amazing draft we've had. But so I think there's a world in there where we all want the big name, we want the splash, we want to see that stuff, but I think that there's a big sense of responsibility, and again, tying your legacy to how this team is going to perform in 1 or 2 years.
Yeah,
locking up the offensive line to protect whoever is going to play quarterback, I think would be a big deal. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them take a tackle in the first round.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think they go Penix at 13, but I think in a similar situation, I have them trading back up into the first to grab either a right tackle or a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry late in the first round. I think either one of those guys. I think the right tackle that I had. Obviously I'm not the expert like you guys, but a guy like maybe Tyler Guyton,
Oklahoma. Yeah.
That guy, he's big, he's athletic, all that kind of stuff. He can move. He's great in the run blocking as well, but shores up that right side there as well. So I think either one of those guys jumping back in, I mean, I think that's kind of the consensus that I've seen with a lot of people of draft Penix, trade back up in, or draft a right tackle, draft Fuaga, and trade back up to get Penix.
Do you think it's going to go quarterback? Are we going to – I'll ask you, Greg. Do you think we're going to see quarterback tackle, like, no matter what, or does corner sneak in there?
I like what Jeff just said, because originally, right, I was saying go get your best right tackle and then move up, but Penix may not be there. So play this – if Penix is there at 13, let's not play any games. Go get your guy, and then you move up. And I think Tyler Guyton will be available there in that later first round. I'd probably go get him immediately because there's a Patrick Paul out of Houston, right? Right tackle. I don't know if he's going to translate at the next level. Blake Fisher's a guy I like a lot. Maybe it's my Notre Dame bias, but I think that he's a phenomenal option for us in those mid rounds. But I would rather do that. I would rather go 13, get Penix if that's the route we go, and then potentially trade back up and don't play any games. But there may be, I'm seeing some J.C. Latham potentially there in those 20s. You know what I mean? And there might be a run on whoever's there available left with those tackles, because those good teams are there in the 20s, right? They're like, they're a few pieces away from being drafting 30, you know what I mean? 30 and up. So they may need a tackle right there. So there's going to be a second run on tackles. Initially, there's going to be an early one with Joe Alt, you know what I mean? And some of these other guys. Joe Alt's probably the clear cut best tackle in this year's draft. But I can see Guyton. I like that. Just take Penix, beat. Don't overthink this. Don't overthink this, because then you're out on a quarterback. Then what? You know, then we have to probably take a Spencer Rattler in the second round, or potentially take one of these, you know, second, third wave of guys, when we already have Aiden O'Connell and a Gardner Minshew on this roster. If you're going to get a quarterback, get you a clear upgrade, a clear upgrade. Don't play around and say, oh, you know, I like this guy. I think he'll be good in this quarterback room. No, bring in a guy that you think is going to clearly beat both those guys. There's no reason to play around. But I love that move to trade back up potentially. But even if you didn't trade back up, there may still be some options there in that second round at the tackle and the guard position, the Cooper Beebe's of the world, you know, the Christian Haynes out of Connecticut. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with bringing in one of those maulers at the guard position and saying, all right, put Mumford on the right side and let's see what we have. But it's going to be interesting. But I would rather do the thing that, you know, because we talked about it forever. Take the best player available at 13, trade back up. That may not be an option.
Sure. Because, yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, and I think a lot of that's going to depend on who our quarterback is actually going to be. So if we trade up and get Jaden Daniels, yes, you know, obviously we're probably not going to have a second round pick or whatever. So, I mean, you'll have to find a later tackle or something like that. But if it's Penix, then you will have to probably slide Parham over to the right side because he's left-handed, you know? So you're going to have somebody dependable blocking his blind side. So, you know, so we may start all of a sudden looking at oh my gosh, now we need a left guard, you know, yeah, or something like that. So it's really, it's so dependent on who our freaking quarterback's going to be.
Unless they plan
to go. Going to be a run on quarterbacks too. I think that it's going to, people start panicking. You know, we've seen it one too many times in the draft, man. And the teams start panicking when guys start coming off the board. And I know that you know, the Patriots have talked about being open for business. And I know there's the stuff with the Commanders going on here. It's also lying season. And like, I agree, it's real close. And so it's interesting that this stuff is coming up here at the very end. But I also do, like, I don't trust any of the news. Like, it's because it's like once that third guy comes off the board, or once, you know, it's one player over another, or what?
Yeah.
Shane Daniels go number one and freaking change the entire thing. You know what I'm saying? Or something crazy like that happened. And it happens every year. It may not be between the first three picks, but in the top 10, there's something that happens that jacks up everybody's board.
We did it in 2019 in Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there you go. Shout out.
But see, the scary thing is, though, there's always a second run on quarterbacks too that people don't realize. You may miss out on the second wave of guys. So remember last year we got Aiden O'Connell. It was Aiden O'Connell. New Orleans went and got the young kid out of Fresno State. The Rams went and got the young kid out of Georgia. And it was another run. It's another run. You don't want to miss out. Like when you start seeing those guys go, I think that's the reason why we took Aiden O'Connell where we took him last year in the fourth, was because, okay, we're starting to see another run here on guys. Let's go get a guy that we could potentially develop. We didn't think that we're going to have to throw him out there to the Wolves year one and be the starter. But we went and got him because you know, there was another run. You don't want to miss out on that first run this year. You do not want to miss out on it. If they don't think that Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew are one of those other guys, you have to go get one of those guys. The thing that scares me is trading up into the top 10 and going to get one of those guys, and we give up the farm to move up to 8 to 7. Then it's like, oh my God, man. Like, if we're going to do this, we should have went all the way up to the top 3 and got one of these top guys. I would hate to miss out on potentially moving up to where New England is, getting Jane Daniels, a guy that AP clearly wants, and that Jane Daniels clearly wants AP, and it's moving up to go get the likes of a JJ McCarthy, a Drake May, and giving up a shit ton of draft capital when that wasn't your number one guy on your board anyway. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I'm with you. I don't. If they're gonna move, I mean, just go for it. If you're gonna do it, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that's the direction that they're gonna go in, then at that point, what is the difference in the actual margin of difference in the draft capital to make it? It's not gonna make. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know. Complaining you only have $3 million when you had 4 last year,
right?
Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're gonna make that move, you're already sacrificing so much to move up 5 or 6 spots. Well, you might as well just go ahead and move on up 9 or 10. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, it's only gonna be that extra draft capital in it. And then you're talking about too. And these are it's funny because I'm on both sides of the coin on this thing, because then I think of it too that, like, well, and it's worth it because if that's the guy and they are fully 100% married to this idea that he's going to be the guy, the next, whoever you want to call him in the NFL, he's going to be an elite quarterback in the NFL. Then frankly, there is no price too high. I mean, unless you're talking about trading Max Crosby or Devontae Adams or something. Yeah. But outside of that, outside of like player exchanges in terms of draft capital, because the draft is a crapshoot anyways.
Yeah.
Then I look at it, I'm just like, you know, and then I'm with you guys, then fuck them picks and just go do it. But the what I really hope they don't do is what you're saying. Like, let's not move up to 8 and get JJ McCarthy or something like that. Yeah. I think we would all come away from that going like, what the fuck was that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, then I'll ask you too, Graf. So, you know, we talked about, you know, this run on quarterbacks that could potentially happen, kind of like what Murph said. Teams panic, you know, all this stuff. Say we stay at 13 and think we're going to get Penix, and all of a sudden Penix is taken by Denver.
Yeah.
You know, do
or Minnesota
panic at 13 and take Bo Nix? I don't think so. I don't like Bonus.
No, I like Bonus.
I don't care for him, and I think that's the consensus with a lot of Raider Nation. Yeah. You know, you may feel differently than I do.
Oh no,
I don't really care for him.
But I don't want Bo. I've never been a major. But from what I've heard, Tom Telesco loves Bo Nix.
Yeah, well, I think it's also Lion season with that as well. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Did you hear the comments that he made about playing in the SEC versus playing the Pac-12?
Yes.
That, as soon as I heard that, I was out. I'm like,
no,
if you think that the SEC, and we live in SEC country, and then you live in just, you know, you live not far from the University of Texas there, you know how rabid football is in the South. I get it. It's like religion down here. Well, guess what? It's Disneyland compared to Raider Nation. And if you can't handle the SEC, then you're going to get smoked in Vegas, dude. It's that mentality of like football is something that I do. It's not who I am. Yeah, go ask Antonio Pierce if that works with the culture that he's built in this locker room. Go ask Max Crosby if football is just something that he does and that people shouldn't take it so seriously. Man,
He's on fire, bro.
I hate that shit. I hate that shit. I hope he never gets anywhere near Vegas unless he's in an opposing team's uniform and we can smoke his ass. Then we can show him what Raider Nation's all about.
Salute to Murph with a haymaker. Salute to Potbelly. I wouldn't mind getting Braden Fisk to deepen our defensive line. If you go get him in the second round, Potbelly, I'm okay with that. He is a guy that fits the Raider mold, endless motor. He killed the Senior Bowl. That is a guy that definitely fits. I said this on one of my shows. I remember AP saying that there was probably five players in this draft that are Raiders. Braden Fisk is one of them. He's one of them. So Jaden Daniels, I know for sure, because that's AP's guy. It's Braden Fisk, and there's probably some a Fuaga. He fits that Raider mold. Grimy, dirty.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then the Terrion Arnolds and the Quinyon Mitchells, those guys that get it done on the outside. There's a few guys, but Braden Fisk definitely fits that mold. Salute to Joe. Raiders will win in the offseason forever if we get JD5 and Ayuk in one play. I'm going to be the most insufferable motherfucker out there. So we know that Ayuk wants to leave the Niners if he doesn't get this extension. The thing is, Joe, it's not realistic. If you move up to get JD5, you're parting ways with a bunch of firsts. The Niners want potentially a first for him. And think about this. We're probably going to move a first and a second like we were just talking about this year. They're not going to take a third for Brandon Ayuk. I understand the idea that you have to pay him, but I think the Niners are at least going to get a second for Brandon Ayuk, and I don't think we're going to have that. And I don't think they want a future second for him. I think they want one now. And it's going to be a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers that will offer an early round pick to go get him. The Buffalo Bills that need another receiver at this point because they moved off and gave
Davis
and Stephon Diggs. Yep. So I think the Ayuk thing is a pipe dream, but JD5 is definitely in play at this point. If New England moves that third spot and the Commanders go Drake May. Salute to Joe on the $5. Let's get these supers. Go ahead, brother.
And I was just going to say, and to Joe there, we already have Brandon Ayuk. His name is Jacoby Myers. They're so similar. And when you look at their play, when you hear the reports of like what they're like in practice and how Jacoby Myers, he loves to do all those crackbacks. And he's like he plays offense like he's a defender. Like, I love that guy. I think he's great. Yeah. I think it would be a duplication of talent if we had, not that that would be a bad thing necessarily, but considering the cost associated with it, like you said at the very beginning of the show, man, all wide receiver room is nice right now, just the way it is. So I think we're good there.
Real quick, you guys, I'm putting Raiders Fan Radio. The link is in the comment section. I just put it up there twice. Make sure you guys, if you got to leave real quick, I don't even care. We got 900 people in the building. That should be 900 new subscribers to our family over there at Raiders Fan Radio. So go over there, hit that subscribe button, you guys. Pull back up to the show. Salute to Verum. Can we really afford to not pick Penix if he's available at 13? We just went over how much of a perfect fit he would be for our offense. I don't think we can. I truly don't.
I don't think you can pass on him.
Yeah. This guy, he really fits the mold. I think that people tend to forget, too, that at the end of the season last year, where was AP and Champ Kelly? They went to that Oregon and that Oregon and Washington game. They were there watching these guys very closely. They went to his pro day. There's a very, very good chance that these guys definitely love what Michael Penix Jr. brings to the game. And I think he fits that mold. He's from Tampa. He kind of has that little that grimy feel to him. I love that He did his right when he went to the national championship, they interviewed him and he was like, shout out to the home team. Like he was shouting out Tampa. That's some Raider shit. You know what I mean? Jeff, what do we do? We brag about being from NorCal all the time. Murph, we brag about being from NorCal. And it doesn't matter where we are. I'm from Northern California, man.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, even when it has nothing to do with the conversation. Hey, man, how's your day going? I'm from Northern California. You know what I mean? I love that guys, when they do that, they have that edge to them and they're repping, you know, shout out to my guy, free the homie. That's what he said. He said something like free the homie. I was like, that sounds like a Raider to me. Sounds like a Raider to me. You know what I mean? So I would love to have Michael Penix Jr. I don't think we can afford to miss out on him on 13.
I'm with you. And I'd love to have him too. And I think that it's a lot of times we got to look, not be a prisoner of recency and look past the national championship game. Cause I think that that's where, you know, when you look at that game he had against Texas, go watch that game against Texas. and then watch the national championship game, yeah. And then tell me what your opinion is on the guy, because I think that people give him a little bit of a knock on that. But I just, the more I've learned about the guy, and we talked about the physical aspects of it earlier, but the mental aspects of it, like learning now how the reason he didn't do a lot of running was because he was so disciplined to the system at Washington that he didn't need to, because he gets rid of the ball so fast, because he can process things so quickly. And that, and again, just like we talked about earlier, one of the quarterbacks make their money on the deep outs and comebacks. They also make their money being able to diagnose what the defense is doing at the line of scrimmage. What makes great players great? Why did stupid noodle arm Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl back towards the end of his career? Because he knew everything the defense was going to do before they did. And, yeah. And it's those kinds of abilities to process that information that quickly and then get the ball out within the confines of the system. That is, you can't teach that stuff.
Like, and why did he get hurt initially?
Given abilities, and that's what he does well. Like, I understand the injury history, and I understand a lot of the reluctance that some fans have. But when you look at his strengths, they by far, this guy should be a freaking top five pick, and he probably would have been if it weren't for the unfortunate knee injuries. But then he's also played 27 games straight healthy.
Yeah. So, right.
Like, what else could the guy do?
Indiana destroyed him, Murph. Indiana, you know, he was running for his life. That's where the injuries occurred. I know he had some other stuff with his shoulder and stuff like that. That wasn't the system that he needed to run. In Indiana, they actually derailed his career. And guess what he did? He went out to Washington and he revived that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, within the
confines. What were they, 4-8 the year prior? And then he took it over and just went nonstop.
But see, that's the reason why I don't hate Bo Nix, you guys. I understand your gripe with him, you know, about the SEC talk and all that other stuff. I understand that. But he did what he needed to do within that system in Oregon. Dink and dunk, get rid of the ball. He played it at a very, very high clip. Not saying that he has all the intangibles that Michael Penix Jr. has. Not at all. I think that Penix is the best pure thrower in this draft. And I'm saying that over Caleb Williams and all these other guys. I think Penix has the best pro passer in this league. But
– yeah.
We always say this over here, different strokes for different folks. You go to a certain team and it fits, you know, imagine if Joe Montana went somewhere else and didn't go to the 49ers, right? He wouldn't have been probably Joe Montana. Think about that. Troy Aikman coming out of UCLA. If he went somewhere else, didn't go to the Cowboys with that great, phenomenal run game in that O-line, he probably wouldn't have been the Hall of Fame player that he is today. We can do all these what-if scenarios, but I mean, and I'm not saying that they couldn't have happened. They could have still been a Hall of Fame guys. They're two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But when you go to certain situations, it's different. You know, there's different outcomes. And I think
it absolutely is. And that union of quarterback and coach is huge. If you think about not all of them, but most of the great quarterbacks in the league that have won multiple Super Bowls and championships, they're all tied to a great coach. And even ones that didn't, even ones that just performed at a high level year in, year out, over long periods of time, they were tied to great head coaches. You look at Dan Marino. It was Marino and Shula. It's Brady and Belichick. It's Montana and Walsh. It's in our world, it's Stabler and Madden, right? Like, you could even throw in, and I know that it was short-lived, but even Gannon and Gruden. Gannon was an MVP, and John was a brilliant offensive mind back at the time. Yeah. Like, so you have that union of those.
Jordan and Phil. I mean, we can go into the NBA. We can do this forever.
Totally.
You guys are definitely, definitely right. I want to ask you guys this take on this real quick. I know you don't really do too much within the collegiate level, but I know there's another polarizing name out there that is kind of getting some mentions within the Raider Nation. Spencer Rattler, a guy that, you know, played at Texas Tech, you know, ended up transferring out. Oklahoma, I believe, right? We played Oklahoma, went to South Carolina. Kind of, you know, early on in his career, it was, this guy, man, is the next Patrick Mahomes. Then that shit died down immediately. There was a lot of talk of him potentially having problems within the locker room. He wasn't mature enough, you know, to get it done. And then he has an okay season last year, but he starts to kill the combine. He kills the interviews. Like, you can tell the guy has matured. He's not the guy he once was, you know, years prior. I mean, what is your guys' take on a guy like Spencer Rattler? Do you think, you know, I don't know what Getsy's offense looks like without a Justin Fields. So I don't know how to gauge if Rattler fits in this offense. I know that he's not going to take off. That's not his first move. You know what I mean? Like a Justin Fields. So I think that if you keep the pocket clean enough, I think he can make all the throws. I think he has arm strength for the NFL. Some of his decision-making is a little, you know what I mean, at times. But what do you guys think of Spencer Rattler? Do you think that's a realistic option if we decide on going quarterback in the second or third round?
Yeah, you know, I would prefer Spencer Rattler in the second or third than I would Bo Nix in the first. Hot take, that's what I feel. You know, I mean, you know, I like him a lot. You know, I hated him a couple years ago. I'm a Tennessee University of Tennessee fan, and so they knocked out our undefeated run a couple of years ago, whatever. But no, I like that guy a lot. You know, he's gritty, and what more do you, you know, the Raiders, you want another snake in the desert, right? Nice. You know, so feels very, you know, that's
2.0,
man. But no, I like the guy a lot. He's got raw talent, and yeah, you know, some people were saying he wasn't as mature and stuff like that. Well, bring him into the building with Antonio Pierce, you know, and I feel like you could say that about so many different people in this draft, you know, in free agency. Any
Jack Jones
things, Jack. I'm telling you, that's why I like the guy out of Oregon that we were just talking about,
Kyrie Jackson. Yeah,
Kyrie Jackson. That's why I like him. He reminds me so much of Jack Jones. And I know we're talking about quarterbacks, and here we are talking about Kyrie Jackson. Yeah. But like Antonio, it's the Antonio Pierce effect, man. So if you have guys that have raw talent and you could see it in the combine and interviews and all that stuff, but maybe some of his decision making or whatever on or off the field, Antonio Pierce can fine-tune that shit, and Max Crosby will help fine-tune that shit. You know, this culture will fine-tune that shit. So, you know, give me the raw talent. If the quarterback isn't there, we can't get panics. We can't get anybody in the first. Give me Spencer Rattler in the third all day long.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with it in the idea that I have so much faith in that culture and what Antonio Pierce has built and what the overall attitude is in the building. And I think that the locker room will take care of itself. So if there's any potential maturity issues, anything like that, I think those things can get taken care of. And also it sounds like he's really taken a lot on his own, just growing older. I mean, shit, I was a hell of a lot different at 19 than I was at 23, than I was at 33, than I am at 51 now. You know what I mean? Like, you just evolve over your lifetime. So I would necessarily hold that as a knock against him. But I think what is really interesting, though, is that there are a lot of unknowns in his game, where you look at the other guys and we kind of see, like, we can go on and on about Penix or Jane Daniels, or like you said, even Bo Nix. Like, we can identify, like, okay, here's what this game is likely going to look like in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're that convicted around it with Spencer Rattler. And I think that's tricky to me, because we talk a lot on our show about how, what is it that you can be such a winner in college and then not be able to play in the NFL and just fail out miserably? Well, there's kind of two different things, right? There's like the physical side of it, like Tim Tebow. Like, Tim Tebow was just, his game really just never translated to the NFL. So physically, his throwing motion, all that shit, it just never really worked. And then you got a guy like Johnny Manziel or Jamarcus Russell, who are just, they don't, their head's not in it. They're just trusting their natural ability. They don't study. So I don't know. So there's two of those kind of unknowns, and I'm not pinning this on him, because I don't know the kid and I don't want to speak unfairly on him, but there's questions around both those things.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, okay, well then I don't know. So I don't know.
I agree with you.
If Antonio Pierce and Tom Colesco thinks he's the guy, then I'll trust him. Then, because I'm a freaking, you know, I'm a fan of this organization, and especially Telesco. I mean, we'll see what we get with him. But as far as Antonio Pierce goes, man, I haven't felt this strongly in my fandom for somebody that was a coach of ours.
Yeah.
I don't know when. I mean, since I was a kid, and it was Tom Flores, or maybe Gruden 1.0. Like, I just trust him and his direction so much that if they do fall on a guy like Rattler, then okay, I'm in.
And guess what happened?
Brought up this. We talked about that on our show a couple of weeks ago, Graf, about, you know, what's the difference between C.J. Stroud and Johnny Manziel? You know, how come those two guys that were on such a trajectory to greatness, one of them shit the bed and the other one is doing what he's doing in C.J. Stroud? Like, culture is so freaking underrated. You know, I mean, you say that, I mean, people understand the importance of culture, but like, I don't know if some people understand how freaking important it actually is, because you hear Johnny Manziel in an interview that came out not too long ago that he said that one of the coaches told him, you know, well, you need to get your head out of your ass or whatever. And they were riding him and dogging him, and he kind of just fell out of love with football.
Well, so, well, you know, Cleveland is QB purgatory. Cleveland is quarterback hell. And well, you see what happened with Baker Mayfield. He went there, look, and now he's in Tampa Bay. He's in the playoffs. And now he got a major contract, and rightfully so. I mean, Jamarcus Russell went to a really bad team, And we know we were there. I mean, but these are kids at the end of the day. That's the thing sometimes that we have to, like, we always have to remember is some of these guys, Jamarcus wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He had all the talent in the world, but wasn't ready. And probably didn't have the right guys around him to come here. I got you. This situation is different. You got Max Crosby. You got Davante Adams. You got Antonio Pierce. And guess what? If you're not getting down with it, what are we talking? You're going to get the Roderick Teamer and you're going to get the Peters effect. Get the fuck out of here. Yep. You're gone. Period. Yep. You're gone. Like, if you don't want to get down with what we have going on, get the fuck out of here. So, but Spencer Rattler doesn't give me those vibes of being a guy that will come in and be a distraction. I think that if we took him in those middle rounds, I would trust the process. Salute to East Coast Gridiron. My guy loves Bo Nix. So he analyzes. This is his favorite quarterback in this year's draft. Bo Nix beat Alabama, SEC all freshman, hurt his knee. 15 of those players he played with transferred, had two OC changes and head coach change. Bo Nix's dad played at Auburn. We got to paint the picture. Salute to East Coast Gridiron. So, you know, anytime you hear some slander on Bo Nix, I expect my guy to pop in.
Hey, respect, man.
Salute to my guy. Salute to SDOT. I'm really going to have to give it to you, Graf. Big salute. Because after watching Spencer Rattler's highlights last night, that guy is a problem, especially his 40 time and deep accuracy. Holy shit. Salute to SDOT. That's why I keep saying, you guys, I think that he's going to be a second round guy. I know a lot of people, oh, don't get him. Don't get him until the fourth or fifth. He's not going to make it there. He's not going to make it there.
No, I think because we talked about that second run of quarterbacks, he'll lead the charge of that second run of quarterbacks.
Yep.
And that's probably going to happen in the second round. I'm with you.
Yeah. Salute to SDOT one more time, man. I'm really okay. He put the same thing. Salute to my guy on the $10 donation. Hey, real quick, man. I want to ask you guys. You guys were just in Vegas doing some big things with some big time players out there, man. What you guys have going on? I seen you were at had you suited and booted and all that good stuff. What you guys have going on out there in Las Vegas?
No, thanks for bringing that up, Graf. Yeah, so back in November, we were fortunate enough to donate $15,000 to the Biletnikoff Foundation on behalf of Raider Nation, some of our amazing corporate sponsors here at Raiders Fan Radio, and more importantly, the One Nation Foundation. So all the money that we make doing our show, we give all that money away to Raider-related charities, whether it be our friends at Raider Dad, the Max Crosby Foundation. We've given to XOXO Stabler. We've given, obviously, our big supporter that we give to is the Biletnikoffs and stuff like that. Yeah, Murph's going to grab our big check that we gave him a real check, but we kept the big check to hang over here in the fan cave. But yeah, so back in 2019, we gave a couple grand to the Biletnikoffs. It went up in small increments. And this past year, we were fortunate enough to give $15,000 on behalf of Raider Nation to the Biletnikoff Foundation. So there that is right there. Besides Mark Davis, this was the biggest donation of the night back in November. So that's big time. That's legit. And that's because of all the good folks like you. Every time we have you on the show, you've always, you know, given some as well and all that stuff and all the other guys from the Shieldmore as well. Super chats on our show. We've got the Summer of Swag coming up this summer.
Go to merch.
You can get some of our merch as well on our TeePublic page. So yeah, you can. There's a multitude of ways to support what we do at the One Nation Foundation, and thank you for the platform for that. Do you have anything else to add with?
Yeah, so we're taking care of Raiders related charities. Like, did you mention Raider Dad?
I did.
And so, you know, it's just really amazing organizations that are doing amazing work, taking underprivileged kids to Raider games and their parental figures. The Biletnikoffs are taking young women at risk of domestic violence and substance abuse.
Love it,
and not
man.
Only giving them rehabilitative services, but giving them safe spaces. And so the work these people are doing is absolutely incredible. Max Crosby working on pet sheltering and just really nice, wonderful causes. And Raider Nation is family. That's what we do, right? We take care of our own. You know, we're the villains and we're big and bold and all that stuff. But at the same time too, we're family. We take care of our own and take care of our communities. And that's what these foundations and these organizations are doing. And we're just a vessel, man. That's all we are. We just say all the time, we're just three knuckleheads in my bonus room with microphones. It's the generosity of Raider Nation giving through our One Nation Foundation that benefits all of those entities. And so we cannot thank you enough for this platform, can't thank you enough for your monetary contributions, and can't thank everybody out there enough for what they've done to support the One Nation Foundation. Our show, Raiders Fan Radio, is now designed to support the foundation. Like, that's our main focus.
I just put the link in the comments section, you guys. OneNationFoundation.net. Go over there, support what my guys are doing, and I'll put it on the screen here in a second as well. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. I want to hear you keep talking.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but the link
you
is
in. You got to do that to him sometimes, Graf.
Yeah, you got to shut me down, man. I start rambling up here, man.
Hey, we're old, man. That's what we do. That's what we do, man. That's what we do.
That's true, yeah.
Hey, I'm actually
use your hand.
I want to pick your guys' brains soon too, because I'm actually starting a Oak Las Vegas a nonprofit organization. So I definitely want to get on the phone with you guys soon, and maybe we can somehow, some way, cross promote some stuff and get some stuff going. Deal. So definitely, I would love to do that, man. Once again, you guys, the link is in the chat. Go support it. Definitely be appreciated. It's one of the greatest causes out there in Raider Nation, man. So go support what my guys over there doing, man. And Little Ass Boy, I love the name. We just talked about it, brother. If you can, run the show back. We definitely talked about the whole Jaden Daniels possibilities of going, you know, to LV now with his agent and all that other stuff going on. Double back, we talked about it. Salute to my guy and salute to Alex on a $2 donation. Quote of the day, I'm from Northern California, man. Hey, and that's why we talk with our hands too. It's another California thing. You know what I mean? So let everybody know real quick. Yeah, there you go. Love San Jose, man. Real quick, let everybody know where to follow you at, man. Everywhere. Like, just websites, YouTube, everything. Let everybody know real quick where you can plug you in.
Thank you. Yeah, OneNationFoundation.net. That's our website for the foundation. You can find us there. Pretty much everything else is at Raiders Fan Radio. You can find us on X. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on TikTok. You can find it on Instagram. You can find any. It's just at Raiders Fan Radio. We're both on Twitter. We like to play around there a little bit. I'm at underscore Murph, and he's
underscore Swag.
Spit it out. Say it. Underscore Swag Jets. This is why I do all the talking, because my co-host,
I'm telling you,
freaking gets his tongue swole up.
Well, I have nothing left to say
because he drinks Jim Beam during the show. But anyways, but you can find us all over the social medias, man. And once again, cannot thank everybody enough. And thank you for your support. Our YouTube is youtube.com/Raiders Fan Radio. We do our show every Wednesday night at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Always appreciate you, Graf, jumping on there and saying hi in our chat room. And yeah, we have a great chat room, just like you do. Raider Nation is undefeated, man, when it comes to chat rooms. Yeah. We have such amazing folks that gather up. And our show's a little bit of a dog whistle. But if you get it, you get it. And you'll have fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we take our fandom pretty damn seriously. And we just like to have fun and talk about the Raiders. And so appreciate everybody once again for joining us there. And thank you, Graf, for the invite today.
Always.
I can't believe we burned an hour already.
Right? I know, right?
Like, shit, I got one more to say.
Hey, real quick, salute to Michelle also. Salute. I see.
Hey,
thank you. Thank you.
Got real talent, a Raider.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The one that's not here.
Yeah.
Got to
support. She's awesome. She's been a great addition to our show. She joined us about a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
And she's just been awesome. Her and her husband, Lamont, are just absolutely turned into some of our best friends. And so, yeah, she's been an awesome addition to Raiders Fan Radio.
Salute to GA. Hey, real quick, you guys, I'm going to ask you guys, like I did with Juan from the Autumn Windbags. Let's do this after the draft, because we don't have to continue to talk about the same shit over and over and over again.
Raiders, Graf.
Yeah, hey, we'll have a list of new players to break down, talk about. I would love to double back some point, a few weeks. You guys have 5 minutes. I want to ask you guys a take on something real quick. Okay, so salute to Hondo. And I'm going to say real quick, rest in peace to his brother, man. Just passed away. I got to give Hondo, you know, Carpenter, man, his love, man. Salute to him. I know he's going through some things right now. But once again, man, love you, Hondo. Hope everything is okay with you and your family, man.
Crazy
times. But they put something out there on Sports Illustrated about if Aiden O'Connell came out in this year's draft, that he'd be a first-round pick and that the Raiders would take him at 13. I want to call Cap on that. I'm calling Cap. I don't think that there's any way. You know what I mean? Because especially with this deep quarterback class, I don't see Aiden O'Connell, but I mean, I knew this was going to be a quick little. So that's why I wanted to go this route this late. How do y'all feel about that, man? And I like Aiden. I like Aiden a lot.
Yeah,
does he go higher than the fourth? Because he's shown an ability to win in the NFL, and if that's a known fact, you know, then yeah. I mean, I think he goes higher than the fourth, but he's still a third or at the most of like a second. You know what I mean?
Well, like,
I wouldn't. I don't even know if it's that yet. And you know.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of how I feel. You know, I think kind of what we were just talking about that second run of quarterbacks, I think Spencer Rattler would still lead that, but yeah. then Aiden O'Connell would probably follow right after. So I could see him maybe a second rounder kind of thing, but I still think you look at all the talent in this draft, I think Spencer Rattler still probably would be a better prospect coming out of the draft than Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, he'd go above Michael Pratt. Sure. He'd beat out guys like that, you know. But outside of that, I don't think so.
He'd probably beat out Bo Nix.
In my book, I'd draft Aiden number one overall instead of Bo Nix.
Yo, East Coast Gridiron is going to do a video today and break down even more tape.
Yeah, he's Raiders fan radio hate radio is what he's going to start.
Man, I had a guy come after me on Twitter big time. Was a big Oregon fan.
Oh no!
Yeah, and he started going in on me about like, oh, tell me about all the great Raider quarterbacks that have ever been. And I'm like, yeah, well, tell me about all the great Oregon quarterbacks that have ever been in the NFL. And I'll spot you, Dan Fouts. He's like, oh, Justin Herbert. I'm like, Justin Herbert, he's overrated, just like Philip Rivers was.
I love it.
No disrespect, Marcus Mariota.
Shit. He said, I've already done a breakdown. Salute to East Coast Grid. Oh, yeah, Mariota. You know, once a Raider, always a Raider. You already know. Salute to you, brothers, as always. I love both you guys, man. You let me know when you're free after the draft at some point. I will be in Detroit. Me and Waste are going to be out there doing a podcast 3 days.
Sweet. Awesome. Covering it.
So even if you guys have some time, let us know. I mean, we're going to have a few people pop in during the draft. If you guys have a few moments to speak about it, maybe a pick that you guys – maybe if we take a Tennessee guy. You know what I mean? Hey, if Milton ends up being a Raider at some point, Jeff, I would love for you to pop on and be like, talk your shit. Talk your shit.
There you go.
Or Jalen Wright. Running back.
I love that dude, man. Yep.
Hey, we need a running back that can give us some reps in the receiving game, right, at this point. Like
he's the dude for that, man. Yeah, I think you know what you think he'll fall to the third round.
I think that first run of running backs, it'll be that third round. I think him, Benson out of Florida State, some other guys, maybe even a guy like Ray Davis that I like a lot out of Kentucky. They'll probably be that first wave in that third round. Yeah. I think it'd be a nice little run.
Where's Corum go then?
In that same run. I love Corum. He's one of my favorite guys, but he's 5'7", 5'8". Like he's just so small. I'm afraid that
he's going to get kings.
Yeah, I just feel he's going to get broken in half at the NFL level. Like, don't get me wrong, he's going to hide behind some old linemen, and he'll sure. make some plays where it's like, oh my god, this guy is that guy. I just the
size. He can be Sproul though too, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Hey, maybe he can be that next one.
Get the weight room.
There you go. But once again, you guys, man, salute to my guys. Go subscribe to our brothers on YouTube. Go support everything that they do. OneNationFoundation.net, you guys. Go donate a few dollars, man. Anything counts. It's for a great cause. Go support our brothers. On the way out, you guys, wipe them feet, hit them thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. Go to OakLasVegas.com. Get some merch, PlanetRaiders.com. Go check out some of the phenomenal articles that Big Mike has been writing on every one of these prospects going into the draft next week. And salute to the greatest chat in the world. And once again, I'll be live tonight with Sanjeet. So pull up. 9 o'clock Central Time. I hate that I scheduled this shit the same time the Kings are on. It's gonna be. I'm gonna be so distracted. But hey, the show must go on. You know what I mean? So
there you go.
Hope to see you guys tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific.
But I want to say this real quick too before we get on out of here. You've given us a lot of kind words, and we got to return fire on that, man. Thank you. And what not only giving us a platform here on your show, but everything you've done, like. You know, there's a lot of content creators out there, and there's a lot of guys that go way back, guys like our buddy Mikey and stuff, that the OGs of this YouTube thing. Mm-hmm. But you, my friend, have elevated this thing to another level that a lot of us, even those guys like us, have been around for a hot minute doing this, elevated to the next level. And so congratulations on all your success and what you've got going on with this, because you're not, and I don't even want to call it your content, because it's not even content. It's who you are and what you do with your channel and the way that you won't not only lift up those around you, but the way you celebrate and represent the Raiders. Man, I got nothing but the utmost respect for it. And so congratulations and keep it rolling, man.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, man. You know, I mean, for you to start your thing and grow the way you did and then take other people and bring them with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the way that you've helped out Wasted and Big Mike and Hammer and all these guys, like, you're the best of the best, man.
We can't thank you, man.
Yeah.
You're the freaking goat.
Thank you, brothers. That means a lot to me, man. Thank you. Thank you so much, man. Once again, man, salute to my brothers. Once again, I'm going to say it. Love you guys. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you for pulling up today. We're going to double back after the draft. Salute to the greatest chat in the world. We're going to see you guys tonight. Love y'all. I'm out.
That's what I'm talking about.